Good morning, Southgate. All of God's people said, amen. Trust that you were blessed this morning by the preaching of the word, or by the singing and the reading of the word of God. And one of the reasons that I genuinely believe that God led us to Southgate and that we felt an assurance of that calling was because of this church's heart for missions. And if you spend any time around me at all, I have a heart for and a desire to be a part of what God is doing, not just here, but around the world. And today we have an incredible opportunity to have a missionary come and just share with us what God is doing in his life and through their ministry, through medical missions outreach. I've known Bradley now for over a decade, and we were able to sit last night at dinner with some other folks from the church. And I remember taking Bradley on in our former church as a missionary when this thing called medical missions outreach was, he's probably doing it out of his garage or basement or something. I'm just kidding. But when it was much smaller, and over the last several years, God has blessed and exponentially grown their ministry to where they now have 17 full-time or 17 employees that they oversee. And next year, Lord willing, as we come out of COVID, they'll be doing 22 trips around the world to advance the message of the gospel through the medical field. I'd like to take just a very quick moment and introduce his family. And Kelly's going to be upset with me, but it's okay. You guys leave in the morning at 10, so I'll see you sometime down the road. But if you would, could you guys stand? Kelly and Ruby and Lulu and Noah and Jude, would you make them feel welcome this morning for being here today? Again, Bradley, I'm so glad that you're here today. I'm going to open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to see a short video, and then he's going to come and read God's word. And when he comes, make him as well feel welcome for being with us today with our Southgate family as we worship. Father, thank you again for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, so much for the opportunity that we have to be in the Lord's house today. Lord, I don't know that there's any place that I'd rather be on a Sunday than being in the Lord's house worshiping with God's family, with God's people, and with our Southgate family. And so, Lord, whether people are worshiping here in person or whether they're worshiping online, Lord, would you speak to our hearts today? There's so much uncertainty going on in our world today. There's so many things that we just don't know. But God, there's one thing that's certain, and that is that you've called us to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that we keep our minds and our hearts focused on the task at hand and that you would bless us for trusting you with our lives and then also with this calling. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was injured while working several months ago. The pain is getting worse and worse, but I had to do my job. On the way to work this morning, I passed a sign on the road about a medical clinic. Would this free clinic have anyone who could help me with this pain? Can I be healed? Is there a healer?
My son has been sick for days, and seeing him suffer is unbearable. I need help. I saw the church in town hosting a free clinic this week. Would they be able to figure out what's wrong? Would their medicine work? I have to try. Is there a healer?
My eyesight has been getting so much worse lately. It's getting harder to drive. If I lose my job as a taxi driver, I don't know how can I support my family. I saw that a church nearby is having a free optical clinic this week. I wonder if they have some new glasses that will work for me and help me keep my job. I wonder, is there a healer?
Hurting people have always flocked to Jesus. They came in droves to see him, to beg for healing, praying for a miracle. And when they went on their way, bodies mended and souls transformed, their lips sang with praise, there is a healer. This is the beautiful ministry of Medical Missions Outreach. We partner with local pastors and missionaries in developing nations all over the world to minister to people who do not have access to quality health care. Pain and suffering bring thousands to a place where we have a chance to show them love by offering compassionate care. Then, a volunteer from that local church will share the message of the gospel with each patient, providing the spiritual care that he needs most desperately.
Hello, this is Missionary Pastor Jerry Wyatt here in Morogoro, Tanzania. As we seek to reach our community for the cause of Christ, we've been able to partner with Medical Missions Outreach, and they've been a tremendous blessing and a tool to draw people to Christ. They're able to come to our church and see their physical needs met, but more importantly, reaching them with the gospel. And we've seen many, many hundreds of people trust Christ through these outreaches, many that have been baptized, that have joined the church. I think of one gentleman in particular that trusted Christ the very first outreach and has helped out every single one since. We want to thank Medical Missions Outreach for the tremendous blessing they've been to us. Our church people love being able to invite family and friends using this tool of medical missions to reach them for the cause of Christ.
Last year alone, over 18,000 patients in 11 countries received physical care from our teams of volunteers. Consultations, physicals, eye exams, dental work, even surgical procedures were all done completely free of charge for the people who came to our clinics. After receiving the care they needed, each patient then heard the beautiful message of the gospel in their heart language from a member of the host church. 2,487 of these made a decision to trust the great physician with their spiritual healing as well, receiving him as their personal savior.
Partnering with Medical Missions Outreach enables us to not only show the love of Jesus, but to also share the love of Jesus as we come alongside hurting people who are in desperate need of not only physical attention, but spiritual attention. We partner along with our numerous churches from the jungle. Our leaders come down here and spend the whole entire week doing evangelism, talking to every single individual that passes through these gates. This week alone, over the last 3 days of running the brigade, we've seen over 2,000 people. It's been able to connect us with our community. We've seen numerous leaders from our state government to our council government come through the doors here, being able to greet them, introduce yourself as a ministry that cares and wants to show love to people and connecting them with the church. And Medical Missions Outreach makes it possible for us to be able to make an incredible impact on our community that we would have otherwise never been able to access.
We need you to lock arms with us, whether it be volunteering on a trip, collecting eyeglasses, funding a special project, or praying for us faithfully. We need you. All over the world, there is great pain and suffering. People are desperate for help, desperate for hope. But we have a message to share. There is a healer. He loves you. He died for you. He sent me here to care for you. Let me tell you about him. To learn more and find out how you can get involved, go to medical-outreach.com. Medical Missions Outreach, pointing others to the great physician.
Well, good morning. It's good to see y'all today. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here at Southgate with y'all. I've been really excited and looking forward to this for quite some time. As Pastor Jason said, we've known each other for quite a while, and I'm excited to see his family and the new opportunity that God has opened for them to be here and be with y'all. You got yourself a good guy, I can tell you that. I had the opportunity to speak with the search committee when they were looking and thinking about all the different pastoral candidates, and they called and asked me some questions, and I tried to tell them all the worst things I could think of, and yet y'all still got him. So this morning, I'm going to preach a message on when you've made your biggest mistake, and I'm teasing. Y'all got a good guy. And I'm excited. I know he already loves this church family. Just hearing the excitement that's been in his voice since the moment that he got into town, I know that he and April and the girls already feel at home. Y'all have already started loving them so well. And so when he called and asked if we would stop by, we've been on the road. If some of y'all saw the RV out back, that's ours, of course. The missionaries are in the RV. That's been our family. We've been on the road for about 73 days now, all over the West Coast, trying to promote Medical Missions Outreach in churches and communities, telling people about what God is doing through this ministry, trying to recruit people to travel and be a part of our teams, as well as just continue to raise funds for a ministry like this. As you can imagine, when you watch a video like that, and you see and hear some of those numbers. Now, that was all footage directly from our clinics. That was not any stock images or purchased videos. Those were videos that came from our clinic sites. And when you look at those crowds and you see those numbers, we're not trying to impress you. I promise you, that's not it. Really, what I want you to feel is almost overwhelmed. That's a lot of people. Because you know what? It is overwhelming when you think that there's 7 billion people on the face of this earth, and every single one of them deserve to hear about Jesus Christ. They deserve to at least one time know that there's a Savior that died for them, that wants to have a personal relationship with them, that wants to give them love and peace and forgiveness and joy and hope, and that is really our burden. I tell people all the time, we're an evangelistic team that just happens to do medicine. That's who we are. We don't want the tail to wag the dog. We want to make sure people know that our primary focus when we travel around this world is to tell people about the great physician, that he's the one that can heal and he's the one that can restore. He can do far more than we can. I'm so thankful we got to share the video with you. I would love for you to stop by our table. We have a table right out here in the lobby. If you would stop by, grab some information about us. One thing for sure I want you to grab this picture of our family so that y'all know an ugly man like me can get a good-looking woman like that. We've been married for 19 years. I'm so thankful for my wife and my family and the strength that they help provide for this ministry and the support that they give us. In fact, today's my daughter Lulu's 12th birthday, and I'm thankful that we can celebrate on the road. Some kids would pitch a fit about having to be away from home and not with their friends, but she's been so sweet, and I'm so thankful we get to celebrate her birthday today. But would you do me a favor? Grab our family's card and just pray for us. Put it somewhere that you visit frequently, most likely the refrigerator, and think about us every time you see it. Pray for us. Pray that God will keep us safe as we travel all over the world. Next year, I forget how many countries we're going to be in, but we're going to hit pretty much every single continent of the world next year as we travel. We're expecting to see about 35,000 patients come through our clinics next year. We need God to keep us safe. We need God to supply for us, too. Would you help us pray for that? You wouldn't even begin to imagine how much medications we go through, how many Band-Aids and latex gloves and cotton balls and all the different things that have to go into a medical clinic. Would you pray that God supplies all of those needs that we have as well? And then help me pray for more servants. We need more people to travel with us. And so that's another reason why I'm here. I want to encourage you to consider going on a missions trip. Now, you can grab one of these green brochures out there on the table as well. And it's going to give you a quick synopsis of our ministry. You can also pass this on. If you know someone that's in the medical community, if you know an MD or a DO or an RN or an EMT or a paramedic or anybody that's got any initials after their name, even if it's a JR, do me a favor, grab one of these things, pass it along to them, and tell them about medical missions outreach, because I want to get involved. I want them to help us reach the world for Jesus Christ. So pray about going on a trip with us. If you're a medical professional, I hope you understand that you got a God-given skill set. Because some of y'all, when y'all saw that finger get pricked on the screen and that blood drop come out, I was surprised we didn't have people falling on the floor. We got people that have told me afterwards, oh, I didn't even like seeing that. I don't like the blood and the guts and the sights and the smells of medicine. There's no way I could do that. It's a God-given skill set, isn't it? And if you have that skill set, if God's equipped you that way, do me a favor. Pray about giving that to God at least one time a year. At least one time a year on a mission field and say, God, if you'll open the door for me and you'll give me the time off, I'll go. I'll go serve you. I'll use this skill set you've given me to help bring other people into your kingdom. And a lot of y'all are already shaking your head saying, yeah, y'all go. Well, listen, you're not off the hook either, all right? I need non-medical volunteers as well. For every one medical professional, I need 3 non-medical volunteers who will come and just work alongside them so that we can get the job done better. If you're non-medical, I could teach you easy stuff. I could teach you how to take weights and temperatures. That's pretty easy, right? And you could help us in our triage area. We fill on average about 12,000 prescriptions every 4 days. You could work in our pharmacy just pulling the medicine off the shelf so the pharmacist can fill it faster. I could teach you how to work in our optical clinic, and you could do the visual acuity exam. Can you read this line? That one, that's easy. Write down the answers for that. We could teach you how to use the auto refractor. I mean, there's a lot of jobs to do. And we need help. We're praying next year to have at least 500 people travel with us on our trips. And I think right now we're sitting at somewhere around 424. So if my math is right, we need about 76. And I think there's at least that many in here today. So we could get this sewed up right now. If y'all want to meet me out in the lobby, we can just sign you all up. We'll go. We're going to have a great time. We're going to see God change lives. Seriously, pray about coming on a trip with us, please. You heard me talk about the eyeglass, this pink brochure. I see a lot of you wearing glasses today, and some of you, you know that if somebody took your glasses off of you, you would not be able to function. A lot of the countries we work in, it's at least a year's salary for people to be able to afford glasses. Could you imagine? It's hard enough in America. If you didn't have insurance, could you imagine paying for them today? We know how expensive glasses are. Could you imagine if you're living on $5 a day, which is the average wage in a lot of the countries we work in, trying to afford glasses? And we have people who can't read, they can't write, they can't drive, and they cannot hold a job simply because they cannot see. So what we're asking you today is consider, if you have some glasses and you know that you've gotten different prescriptions and you've had to retire some glasses, you probably got a drawer at home full of glasses, don't you? Y'all nod your head. I know you do. Do me a favor. Quit being greedy and let me have those glasses, all right? I want to put them to work. I want y'all to send them to our warehouse. Let us clean them, straighten them, tighten them. We're going to run them through a lensometer. We're going to bag them. We're going to label them. We're going to put them in boxes, and we're going to send them with our team. We need about 5,000 pair of glasses for every trip we do, reading glasses as well as prescriptive glasses, so that we can help people. We were in West Africa, and we had three ladies, coming out of the optical clinic, and they were just crying. And I asked the optical team director, I said, what's going on? Why are those ladies crying? He said, Bradley, need a story. They all worked in a factory as seamstresses, but had lost their job because they could no longer thread a needle. And they were suffering. Their families have been suffering. They came to our clinic today. They heard about us giving away free glasses. We were able to match all three of them up with glasses. They could read the bottom line, and they're headed back to try to get their jobs today. They're so excited. Changing lives physically. But man, I could tell you story after story after story about how Jesus Christ is changing hearts, how people are finding a loving Savior, and how He's changing homes and He's changing eternities. You could be a part of this. We could do this together, and we could see God do great, amazing things, because I want you to know this is not my ministry. This has to be our ministry. That's how the body of Christ works. We work together, and we need you to partner with us, come alongside us, and be a part of what God is doing. And so listen, this morning, I can't wait to serve alongside y'all. I want y'all to come on a trip with me. I want us to get a group together from Southgate and y'all come. I can't wait to see Pastor Jason on one of these trips. We're going to put him in some scrubs. We're going to let him scrub in with a surgery team. We're going to put the gloves on him, let him walk in. We're going to take a few pictures and then kick him out, but it's going to be fun. We're going to all serve together. We're going to have a great time. God is going to do great things, but do me a favor, just start praying about it. And to help whet your appetite as you're praying, do me a favor, go on social media, Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. Just search for Medical Missions Outreach. Give us a follow and keep up with what God's doing. Look at the pictures, read the stories, watch the videos, and let God use that to motivate your heart to say, yeah, Lord, if you'll have me, if you'll let me, I'll go, I'll serve. Because I promise you, if you'll be willing to go, if you'll be willing to serve, He will do great things, and it'll change your life. It really will. Take your Bible and let's think about this from Scripture. Ruth chapter 2, if you will. Now listen, I'm going to talk fast. I'm from Alabama, and people say, I can't believe you talk so fast being from Alabama. I know it. I married a Yankee, and she taught me how to do this. So I'm going to talk fast, and you got to listen fast, all right? Because I want to get y'all out of here so y'all can get to the Big Biscuit before the Methodists get there and get all the biscuits and gravy, all right? Because it'll still be early enough. Ruth chapter 2. Let's go down here. I want to read this scripture to you, and I want to encourage you, okay? I want to just challenge you from God's Word and really get you excited about what God will do in your life. In Ruth chapter 2, I'm going to read this scripture quickly. You follow along. We'll start in verse number 4. I'm going to read from the King James because this is where my notes come from, and I hope you can just follow along. It says this, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him and said, The Lord bless thee. And then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered, said, It's a Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from thence, but abide here, fast by my maidens." Listen to this verse. "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." And then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why? Oh, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. I love this passage of Scripture because when I read this, I don't have time this morning. I wish we could kind of dive into the history of Ruth and really remember her story. We'll quickly, just kind of condense it all by saying we remember her husband, her brother-in-law, and her father all have passed away. They are traveling. She is with her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law says, hey, listen, you two girls, y'all go back home. Go back and marry somebody else. You're still young. It's fine. I'm going back. I'm brokenhearted. I'm just absolutely devastated by what God has done in my life, and I'm going back to my people. Just leave me alone. They're not even going to call me by my name. They're going to call me just broken and bitter. It's okay. I'm leaving. And the one daughter-in-law, she does leave. But Ruth, she makes this huge, important, life-changing decision when she says, no, wherever you go, I'm going. Wherever you lay your head, I'm going to lay my head. Your people are going to be my people. And then this testimony. There must have been something in her in-laws, something that stood out about their faith, about their worship of the one true God, because she identifies that day and says, and your God is going to be my God. I'm choosing today to be a part of his family as well. I'm choosing today to have him as my head, as my lead, as the one that I serve and I will worship. And so she does. She comes back with her mother-in-law. We find her in this field that day. She's doing what the poor people would do. She's doing what the women who would have no husband, who had been left destitute, would do in a male-dominated society. She was going out to this field, and she's going behind the people who are the reapers, and she would be called a gleaner. See, the Bible's way of taking care of the poor people, as the reapers were going, if they picked something up and they dropped a little, by law, they could not pick it up. If they swept there and grabbed some stuff and they missed something, they couldn't go back after it. That was God's intentional way of saying, no, leave that behind for the poor people. And that's what Ruth is doing. Boaz comes home. He's the owner of the field. He sees what's going on. And he calls her up and he gives us this beautiful biblical illustration that we can apply to our life today. When God comes to our life and says, I want to pour out a blessing into you. Boaz says that to Ruth. Ruth, I want to do something great. Today, I want to overwhelm you with kindness. Today, I want to overwhelm you with blessings and generosity. But this is going to be kind of a quid pro quo. I'll do this if you'll do that. That's kind of what's going to happen here, Ruth. I'm going to make an agreement with you. And I believe God uses the same principle in our lives, in our spiritual life, as he draws us closer and as he uses us. And this is what we find that happens. Verse number 9. It starts off this way. When Boaz looks at her, he says, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. I think Boaz is trying to teach her here in this passage. And what I'm getting out of this that's applicable to my life is Boaz is saying, Ruth, be focused. Here's the deal, Ruth. I want to bless you. Ruth, here's the deal. I want to help you. Ruth, here's the deal. I want to pour into your life, but I need you to be focused. This field. Let thine eyes be on this field that they are working in. Ruth, I don't want you to worry about what's going on over there in the soybeans. That's not for you. Hey, Ruth, don't worry about what's going on over there in the cotton field. That one over there, that's not for you either. Don't worry about the cornfields over there. This field right here, Ruth, this is the one that I want to pour out and bless you with, and I need you to be focused in this field. I believe with all my heart that we as Christians today, as a part of the body of Christ, we need to be focused on the fact that God has a field for each and every one of us to serve him in. I hope you understand that your life has purpose. I hope you understand that your life has meaning, that you were created for so much and not only praise and worshiping God, but making him known in your field. If you've never taken the time to say, God, how would you use me? God, what would you take my life and use it for your glory? God, where could I serve you? God, what would you have me do? Then please today, by all means, I hope you'll humble yourself enough to say, God of the universe that has created so much, you've poured into my life and you so intricately designed me and created me. God, show me today, how would you use me? Because I believe with all my heart that he has a purpose for you. You have your field and we need you to be focused. I don't know what it might be. It might be that you're going to help with the fifth and sixth grade mission trip that takes place. It may be that you're going to be a part of the greeters or the security team, or it may be that you work in the nursery classes, or it may be that you help teach in a Sunday school class, or you may be an usher. I don't know what your field may be. I don't know how God is going to use you, but I believe you have a purpose, that you have something that you need to be focused on. That you say, nothing's going to distract me. Nothing's going to pull me away. It's going to be a priority for me. If I'm going to teach a kid's class and I'm going to prepare, I'm going to pour into this, I'm going to study those lessons so that I can help these kids, I'm going to do my best to be a blessing and an encouragement to them because I'm going to be focused. I like the way the psalmist puts it. He talks about how his soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. I love how Paul talks about it, because if anybody was focused, I believe this is the Apostle Paul. He says in Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. In Galatians, he would say, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 2 Thessalonians, he would keep saying, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing, be focused. Our churches today, we need to be focused on the task at hand. I believe with all my heart the Lord is coming soon. I do. I believe it. And if I truly believe that, then I have got to be focused on telling each and every person I can about a Savior that loves them, that desires a relationship with them. We need to be focused as a church. But it wasn't just that, because he would continue on as he looks at us and he says, Ruth, I want you to be focused on this field. He also says, be following. I want you to follow them, Ruth, because he says, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. He's the owner of the field. He could have looked at all the men that were there that day and said, hey, guys, y'all all bring up your bags here. Everybody reach down in that bag and you grab some of that stuff that you've already picked up and put it into Ruth's bag. But he didn't choose to do it that way. He chose to say to Ruth, Ruth, listen, this is going to be a tough job. This is the field I want you to serve in. But listen, Ruth, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to go out there and actually do the work. That's not easy for us to grasp sometimes. We feel like, hey, we know Jesus. Can't we just sit in the pews on Sundays and that's good enough? Isn't it good enough that I maybe give some money in the offering plate? Isn't it good enough that I maybe help every once in a while something? I actually got to get to work now? That's exactly what he's teaching her. Ruth, get to work. I want you to get out there and you go after these men. You follow after them. And every time you see that stuff, you grab it, you put it in your bag. You grab it, you put it in your bag, and it's going to be a tough day. It really is. It's going to be a long, hard day, Ruth. But listen, you be focused and you be following, because the blessings are out there in their field. Go after it. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 are my favorite verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be following, Ruth. Get out there and see what's in this field for you. I love 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are just temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So I need to get out there and be focused and following after God's plan for my life, because that's what's eternal. Me going on these missions trips, people say, oh, I don't know how you handle all that travel. I don't know how. To me, it's just what I was created for. This is my field. I'm okay with it. There's times, you're right, I wake up, I don't know where in the world I am. I wake up in a hotel room, or I wake up in a bamboo hut, and I don't know what country I'm in. I don't remember what language they're speaking out there, but I got to get to it, because that's my job. That's my ministry. This is my field. And you know what? It's only for a moment. My life is just a flash in the pan. If I get 85 years, praise the Lord, but it's still a flash in the pan compared to eternity. What I'm doing now is for eternity. It will last forever. And that's what I'm giving my life for. That's what we were created for, each and every one of us, saying, God, I'll follow after what you have for me. Jesus even said in Matthew 16, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Ruth, listen. I want to bless you. Ruth, I want to pour into your life. Ruth, I want you to see something amazing happen today. But first and foremost, you have to be focused. It's this field. It's what I'm giving you right here, right now. And then you have to get out there and you got to do the work. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be people you start pouring into. It's not always easy. It's not always easy ministering to that broken family that their marriage is on the rocks, but you feel strongly that you need to pray and try to help them. It's not always easy when you're trying to reach that person that has an addiction that's chained them down, trying to show them how Jesus Christ can break those chains and putting yourself into their life. It's not always easy trying to help reach that child that's running from the Lord. It's not always easy when we get involved in the classes and the visitations and all those different things, but it is absolutely worth it, because that's where we find the blessings. That's what we were created for. So Ruth, if you'll do these things, here's what you can expect. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. Be focused. And go thou after them. Be following. Now listen, have I not charged young men that they shall not touch thee? Ruth, if you'll be focused and you'll be following, here's what you can expect. I'll keep you safe. I'll keep you safe, Ruth. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch you? This is a male-dominated society. It would have been nothing for her to be out in that field and the men say, hey, get out of here. We're working. Hey, back off a little bit. You better step back. That would have been very common in this day. but not when the owner of the field steps in. Not when the owner of the field steps in and says, hey, boys, don't y'all dare lift a hand towards her. She's mine. She's got my permission to be here. I have blessed this. I have ordained this. I am allowing this to take place. This is commissioned by me. It is okay. People ask me, Bradley, do you get nervous when you go to maybe West Africa where it's a Muslim-dominated area? No, not at all, because God is with me. Do you get nervous when you go into some of the jungle areas that something may happen? Maybe there's a kidnapping or something. No, not at all. I'm more scared of Baltimore traffic where I live, if you want to know the honest truth. I am at peace. I'm safe wherever I may be because the Lord is with me. My oldest son Noah is here today, and he gets embarrassed a little bit when I say this, but usually when I'm getting ready to go on a trip, when it's the day before I'm leaving or the night before, I'll usually try and find Noah, and we'll sit down and say, hey, buddy, you're the head of the house now. While I'm gone, you help mama. You make sure that the other kids are falling in line. You do your best to be a good example, and you work with mom and help her while I'm gone right now. And I'll usually say something like, and if Poppy doesn't come home, it's okay. It's all right. If I don't make it home from this trip, it's okay because I'm doing exactly what I'm created to do. Because listen, no matter what they do to this body, they can't touch my soul. They cannot harm me. I am safe. I am secure in my Creator's hands doing what I'm created to do. This I recall to mind according to Lamentations chapter 3. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord, He's my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that seek Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I can go, I can serve. I can go and I can work. I can go and put everything I have into this because I know He'll keep me safe. You worried about your finances? Trust me, He's the one that gave it to you anyways. You worried about your health? Let me tell you, He's the one that sustains you every day anyways. If you're worried about giving your children to Him and allowing them to serve Him, let me tell you this, He's the one that blessed your womb to give you those children. He's the one that blessed your family to bring you together as it is. They are all His. It is all His. We can trust Him with every single bit of it all. He will keep us safe. Just get in your field and serve Him. And He doesn't even end there. He keeps going, have I not charged young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Listen, Ruth, it's going to be hot. You're going to get tired. This bag's going to get heavier. You're going to be stooping down in the Middle East here. You're wearing this robe. You're wearing the traditional clothes. And as you're working so hard, you're going to get thirsty. You're going to get tired. And when you're thirsty, I'll take care of your supply. In fact, it's already ready, Ruth. Go, the vessels which the young men have drawn, when you're thirsty, just go over there. It's all yours. Go drink as much as you need. It's there waiting for you. You'll have it when you need it. I am so thankful. We were talking last night about some of the big plans that God has in store for Medical Missions Outreach as we continue to see His growth in this ministry. The one thing I'm not worried about, where the funding will come from. I know that might sound crazy to some people. I'm not. We live in the richest church age in the history of the church. God's people have funding. And even if they don't want to give it, my God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He'll take care of it all. I'm not worried about how He's going to supply. I'm not worried about when He will supply because I know He will supply. You want to go on a missions trip, you want to get involved in a ministry, you want to serve God, but you're worried about getting time off, or you're worried about how it's going to work in all the other things that you got going on in your life, or you're worried about how your family will react or any of those things, don't you worry. He'll supply everything you need to get involved, to serve Him, because He owns the field. He's going to take care of you. He's going to restore you. He's going to provide everything. Matthew 6, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought saying, oh, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I love the fact that no matter what I need, when I need it, he's already thought about it. He's already prepared it. He's going to give it to me in his timing. I just need to be in my field serving the way he designed me to. As I close, I think about this passage of scripture, and I think about this proposition that's been put in front of Ruth. I imagine she showed up at that field that day, concerned. She's got a mother-in-law that's probably older and probably still broken and still mourning that she's got to take care of back home. She's coming that day nervous, not knowing exactly what she's going to encounter in the field, how many other gleaners there may be. She doesn't know what's going on, and so she's probably a little bit nervous about how the day was going to turn out. And then the owner of the field steps in and gives her this opportunity. I'm ready to bless you right now, Ruth. Step out in faith. Just trust me. Ruth, step out in faith and just listen to the words I'm offering you today and see how good I can be to you. And what I think is absolutely beautiful is that day she did. She trusted Boaz. She trusted him. She took him at his word and she said, okay, Boaz, I'll do it. And she got out there and she began to serve. How do you know that, Bradley? Which one of those verses tell us that? Look at verse number 23 real quick as we close. Verse 23 says this, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean. Listen to the next three words. Unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. She got out there and she was faithful and she worked till the very last harvest was available. She did it all to the very end. She took him at his word and she was blessed. Not only was she blessed, but her mother-in-law back home was blessed by her efforts, by her work, by her faithfulness. All the work she had put into blessed their household. Can I tell you this? Maybe today God's waiting to bless your household. Maybe today God is ready and waiting for you to just take him at his word and say, okay, Lord, however you want me to serve. It's been a couple of weeks now, and I know COVID has just wreaked havoc in our church, and I know there's some people that haven't been able to come back, and I know that they're struggling. They need some help in different areas, and Lord, you've been working on my heart, so today, Lord, I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to be a part of that. Lord, I know that there's some people at my workplace or in my neighborhood or some family members that I've just really been burdened about sharing the gospel with them and inviting them to church. And Lord, today, okay, I'll step out. I'll do my part. Lord, you protect me. God, you supply the wisdom, the wording, the timing. Lord, if you'll do those things, I'll be focused here and I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit's direction because I want to see you do something great. How about it, Southgate? How about today? How about we step out and see God do something absolutely magnificent right here within these four walls and all over this world? Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for letting us gather today around your word and for the encouragement that the book of Ruth is. And Lord, today, I don't know what's going on in the lives of the folks that are here at church today, and I don't know what's going on and how you've been trying to speak to them and draw them closer and trying to use them, but today, today, right here, right now, in the quietness of this moment, would you draw us close enough to hear the Holy Spirit whispering in our heart, this is it. This is what I have for you. God, would you help us to be tender enough to recognize the faces that have already popped up into our mind during the preaching, or maybe even the situations that we know we should be involved in and giving you glory and leading others to you. God, today, would you help us to be focused and just to follow you? And what an absolute privilege, how humbling it is to know that the God of all eternity is willing to keep us safe, to hold us in your hand, and to supply every need that we possibly could have. God, today, work in our hearts. We love you, and we ask these things in your name. Amen.